Hey everyone, happy Sunday night. It's good to see you all. I just now noticed that before I put in the link, because Cheryl can't put a link in Pal Talk, I noticed how I'm looking at how she faked it. The www, then she wrote out the word dot. Be the love, wrote out the word dot, and then US. But yeah, I can put a link in the room as long as I log on as admin, which I did tonight. Because I have a link to share with you. This is a link for a message that we're going to be continuing tonight. We started it last week. It's called Victim is a Carefully Crafted Experience. And we read the answer to the first question, but it looks like there are two more questions. Oh, maybe not. Maybe my pages are messed up. I may have to open up the link with you guys to make sure I have the right message. My book fell apart, and I think my pages are all messed up. So let me just go into the same file that you guys have. I'll open it up on my PC as well and see, make sure I'm looking at the same thing you are. Okay, so we answered the first question, and we have a second question. And then we will go to a new message. So good. What I would like to do, of course, is say a prayer before we get started. So if you all would join me in the prayer, I would gratefully appreciate that. Holy Spirit, I am grateful for silence, stillness. Sometimes we call it spaciousness. It seems like there's a busyness here in form. Even outside, the wind seems so very, very busy. And yet what I notice, Spirit, is that that does not have to detract from the silence, the stillness, the spaciousness. Because that's in the heart. I want to say thank you to you, Spirit, for teaching me that. I want to say thank you to you for teaching me to stay in the heart, to stay in the space, in the stillness, even when it seems very, very busy. But I also want to ask for something. Spirit, I want to know myself fully. And I know, although I seem to have come so far, there is still some ways to go. I don't know exactly what that is, what that looks like, what I am to do. But I know that you know. I just don't want to forget to express my desire to know thyself frequently, regularly, every day, many times a day. And then I will trust you to lead me. So I embrace this opportunity that is given now to say thank you for what has been given. May we please continue to walk together until I know myself fully, completely. Amen. All right. Good, 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 good. Okay, so we're going to look at Victim is a Carefully Crafted Experience, just the last little part of the message, which I didn't do last week because we ran out of time. And then we'll go find whatever the next message is from October 2007. So I've given you all the link, and I think maybe a couple people popped into the room, including Blue Flower Jasmine. Here is the link again. Again, we went over the top part of the message last week, so we're going to begin at the very bottom, where the question begins with thank you. I'm saying thank you to Holy Spirit for answering the question about Victim. And then I go into an open-ended question, which really I love to do that. I used to direct Holy Spirit a lot more, and what I mean by that is I would ask Spirit very specific questions. Please teach me this, or please explain this to me. but at some point, what I found in my heart was a shift occurring where I knew I did not want to direct Holy Spirit anymore. I knew that what I really wanted to do was say, what do you want to tell me today? I wanted Holy Spirit to be completely in the lead. And you can see that shift happening in the messages, because often now I'm still starting with a guided question. But even if there's a guided question, often there's a, is there anything else you want to say? I want to leave Spirit with that openness to say whatever needs to be said to me. Cheryl says she has to run. She listens to me every day. And that's true. So bye, Cheryl. I love you. Okay, so here we go. Is there anything else that you would share with us now? Oh, let me tell you one more thing before I read this. I don't know what this is going to say. But just to remind you, this was the day that Laurent was leaving North Carolina for Paris. We had been together for our first 6.5 weeks. And now he was going back to Paris for a couple of months, and then he would return to North Carolina in December. So this is the day that we're parting for the first time. All right, here we go. Is there anything else that you would share with us now? Answer. You can expect to hear ego, but this does not mean that you need to listen. It is time to will for, in patience, the realization of the master that you are. Take the lessons I have given you and make them one with your soul through will for. Be alert for distractions such as doubt, resistance, and fear. Then put your heart back into the lead. With the heart in the lead and with no sense of hurry, digest all I have taught you to teach. Oh, sorry. Digest all I have taught you. Oh, that's right. My pages are messed up. I got to look on here. Digest all I have taught you to teach. Oh, that is it. Okay. With the heart in the lead and with no sense of hurry, digest all I have taught you to teach. More help will be given, but do not wait for more. Take what you have now. Remember who you are now and practice all with the fullness of your heart's desire. Do not let distraction pull you away. This is your job now. Practicing these messages with the wholeness of your being will lead you directly to where you need to go. So, first of all, you know, Spirit is telling us that we're going to hear ego. You know, one thing that Spirit has always been with me is honest. In fact, when it's going to be difficult, Spirit even tells me this is going to be difficult. You know, Spirit has always been honest with me. And I, at least for me, that's helpful. There's something about when I know what to expect and then it comes, I'm able to accept it more easily than if it had been a surprise. So you could say I appreciate the heads up. So Spirit is, of course, telling us that we are going to be hearing ego. But reminds us this doesn't mean that we need to listen. And then he says, it is time to will for, in patience, the realization of the master that you are. Now, that sentence is using the language of the messages that were given to Laurent and me. But really what that sentence is saying is no different than the prayer that by pure coincidence I was guided to pray before we looked at this message. So I suppose Spirit wanted to provide a demonstration of what he was about to teach us. It's important that we remember our purpose, really remember our purpose. It is easy to get distracted in the hurriedness and the busyness of our lives. But if we want to wake up, it's important that we remember that. It's important that we continually ask for that, or that we continually trust that is coming, In this case, he's using the word will for. And the word that A Course in Miracles and NTI uses is be willing for. But it is important that with our heart, we take time, as much time as we can, to remember what we want, to ask for it with our heart. Now, this really isn't much different than the teachings of The Secret, which I know many of you have seen. You know, The Secret teaches you that if you want the red convertible, what you need to do is you need to sit back in your chair, you need to close your eyes, you need to imagine the feel of the steering wheel, right? Imagine the smell of the convertible, right? And they say do this every day, and you will eventually manifest the red convertible. It's really, in a way, the same thing, except that we're not manifesting it. But we are readying ourselves for it. We are drawing ourselves towards it. We're being prepared for any guidance that needs to come in order to lead us in the direction of. Jan Fraser, who I know that many of you know that I teach from her book on Friday mornings, from her perspective, her awakening was almost an accident. It turns out it really wasn't an accident. If you go back and look, she had been doing a spiritual practice for 20 years. It's just that she had this thought in her mind that she wasn't going to wake up in this lifetime, and she believed that thought and never really questioned it. So when she woke up, it was like, whoa, whoa, you know, an accident. And when she, you know, she's maturing in her awakening now, so I think that her answers to questions are actually developing. But early in her awakening, she was just like a baby, you know, just like a baby getting used to being awakened. And when people would ask her how to do that, she didn't really have an answer because she wasn't certain how it happened. But the only answer she gave at that point was just want it. Just want it. Want it as much as you can. That's what Spirit is saying here. That's what my prayer demonstrated. It's not wanting from a sense of lack. You know, sometimes people hear that, through a filter of lack. It's not wanting from a sense of lack. It's a loving desire. It's a loving desire rather than coming from a sense of lack. I don't know how to describe it, but you can feel it in your heart. And you want to take time every day, and if possible, more than once a day. You want to take time every day to just pause and remember that you want to awaken. Remember that you want to know thyself. And this is the advice that Spirit has given to Laurent and I. And notice he says, in patience. That's because I think especially maybe on Laurent's side, he knew that there might be a little bit of a panic or a grasping or a sense of lack behind the asking. And so he reminded us to do it in patience. Another set of words that could be used is ask in trust. Right? The next thing he says is take the lessons I have given you and make them one with your soul through will for. Now, as you all know, because most of you show up every Sunday night, in the first 6.5 weeks, there were several messages that Holy Spirit gave us. Holy Spirit wanted us to go over those messages again and again and again. And as we read what the messages were teaching, as we read the code, as we read rest, accept, and trust, you know, all of these practices, he wanted us to will for mastering those practices. It's really almost the same practice as willing for knowing ourself. It's just that those practices are the baby steps to knowing ourself. So he wanted us to pray with our heart to know ourself, capital S. And he also wanted us to go over the messages that he'd given us over and over again while having that same opening of prayer in our heart to master those practices. Again, this is what the Course calls willingness. He wanted us to spend our time actively giving willingness. It's kind of interesting because, you know, I wonder how many of us talk about willingness, but really what we do is we rush through the hurriedness of our day and we don't take time to be willing, right? I think that what really taught me to take time to be willing was the Course Workbook. And when I went through the Course Workbook, I was pretty busy. I had a job then. I'm still pretty busy, but, you know, I had a job in a corporation, and I had what we call back-to-back meetings, where you always had to be late for the next meeting because you'd have a meeting from 1 to 2 and then 2 to 3 and 3 to 4, and you had to somehow travel from one place to the other, so you were always running late. But everybody else did too. Everybody at my level had back-to-back meetings. So I was in meetings, hour after hour, back-to-back meetings. And, you know, you get to that part of the workbook where you're asked to do these meditations every hour or every 30 minutes. At some point it gets to every 15 minutes, every 5 minutes. I did that. That's amazing to me. But I did that. And I remember I did a lot of meditations in the bathroom, in the toilet stall, because that was a place where I could go and be alone for a minute and do a 5-minute meditation if that's what my workbook lesson was. And I don't think the fact that I did that is meaningless. In fact, I think the fact that I did that is what prepared the ground for me to hear Holy Spirit's voice, for me to receive the guidance to be scribe, for me to receive NTI. Everything else that came because I prepared the ground by actively practicing my willingness, not just saying I'm willing, but taking time out and actively practicing my willingness. And that's what Spirit is asking us to do here. Take the lessons I have given you and make them one with your soul through willfor. Be alert for distractions such as doubt, resistance, and fear. Then put your heart back into the lead. So again, he knew, you know, that we would, you know, maybe be practicing our willingness, and then, you know, there's a pesky thought that comes up. I've had a lot of people express the same pesky thought. The pesky thought that comes up, you're not doing enough. You're not doing enough. That's doubt. That's doubt. And if I follow that thought, I'm not doing enough, I'm going to take myself down some ego hell. But if I follow Spirit's advice, be alert for distractions such as doubt, resistance, and fear, I see the thought, you're not doing enough. Gina's style is, I'm doing my best. I put the thought aside, and I go right back to my willfor. You see, I can either go right back to my willfor, right back to my practice, or I can follow that thought, I'm not doing enough. I actually can't do both. Either ego's got me, or I've got Holy Spirit. And so what's happening when that thought, you're not doing enough, comes up, you're not doing enough, that is literally just ego trying to distract me from doing. So I need to be wise enough to realize I don't have to believe that thought. I don't have to follow that thought. I can just put that thought aside and go right back to my practice. So be alert for distractions such as doubt, resistance, and fear. Then put your heart back into the lead. With the heart in the lead and with no sense of hurry, digest all I have taught you to teach. More help will be given, but do not wait for more, right? Use what you have right now. Whatever's been given, whatever you have, practice that. Give your willingness to that. Be on the step you're on. Be on the step you're on as well as you can be on that step. Don't worry about the next steps. They'll come in their time. Just beyond the step that you're on to the very best of your ability. Take what you have now, remember who you are now, and practice all with the fullness of your heart's desire. Do not let distraction pull you away. This is your job now. I think Laurent at this time had a bit of guilt around the idea that he didn't have a job. I didn't have a job either. I don't think I had the guilt about it, though. But the Spirit is saying, you know, that idea that you're guilty because you don't have a job, that's not my thought. I didn't give that thought to you. This is your job. You do have a job. I gave you a job. Your job is digesting these messages. Your job is practicing these messages. Your job is teaching these messages. This is your job. So that idea that you don't have a job is not true. Guilt about it, that's not the thought I gave you. Practicing these messages with the wholeness of your being will lead you directly where you want, where you need to go. Again, practicing these messages with, I love this, the wholeness of your being. You know, put your full self into it. Will lead you directly where you need to go. So that's the end of that particular message. What I'm going to do now is just take a second. I don't know why I thought this message was longer, but I did, so I don't have the next message, but it will only take me a second to find it. So if you guys just enjoy the stillness. Sorry, that was not much stillness. I found it already. It's called Mists of Worry. And this would have come the very next day. So I guess when Laurent got to Paris, he called me with a question for Spirit. Here's your link. Let me make sure. Let me check that date. Maybe it was a couple of days. That sounds awful fast to me. What was the date on this message? I already got out of it, so I can't see the date now. Maybe it was a couple of days later. Once I'm at this level, I can't see the date. But Mists of Worry, I've just given you a link. Just given you a second to open it up. But now, like I said in the story, Laurent is now in Paris. I'm in North Carolina. We're talking on the phone frequently. And whenever Laurent had a question for Spirit, he would call me. And I would ask Spirit the question, receive the answer, and then call Laurent back with the answer. So the messages did continue to come, even though we weren't together. Here's this particular question. Holy Spirit, you've given us great tools lately that are very much appreciated. Yet we seem to have worry thoughts that still stick to us. The seemingly little fears that never go away. I realize these mists of worry must have a greater grip on us than we may acknowledge. Please talk to us about low-level, ongoing anxiety. And to be honest, I'm not certain that this is something that I've consciously experienced. I remember Laurent trying to describe it to me, what it felt like. But I do know that many of my friends experience it because since I've been with Laurent, I've had other people describing it to me. I even saw someone with Muji the other day on a video describing it to Muji. This anxiety that's just always there. Doesn't even seem to be necessarily related to anything specific. It's just this feeling that's always there. So if you all have this feeling, then I assume you know what I'm talking about. You probably recognize it very quickly. So here's Spirit's answer to that anxiety that's just always there, but won't go away, non-specific. Okay, we at least got one person that knows it. Okay, good. Here's the answer then. We got two. Okay, good. I knew that some of y'all felt this. Three. Okay. Yeah. My worry was always specific. I was a specific worrier, and if I wasn't worried about something specific, I felt okay. But this is a worry that's there for, this is a worry that's just there, right? Here we go. These fears are ongoing and low level because they are built into the personality. Fears that are built into the experience, or event-based fears. That's what I had. I had event-based fears. Fears that are built into the experience, or event-based fears, can seem bigger and more traumatic, but they come and go based on events. So that's the type of fear I had. Fears that are built into the personality are codes that are more foundational to overall experience. The personality attracts these event-based fears based on personality, based on built-in personality fears. I think another term that I've heard regarding this once when I read a Buddhist book was the word imprints, that some people are born with imprints. So this would explain why, for example, I had trouble even understanding what Laurent was talking about when he was describing this fear. It wasn't built into this personality. It wasn't something that this personality knew. But there are other personalities who have known it since they were born, since they were children. They don't recall it not being there. They can't necessarily relate it to, quote, bad parents, you know, bad experiences. They may have even had what we would call a wonderful upbringing. But they were born with this fear, right? This is what he's talking about. And again, those of you who have always had it, you know it. He says it's important to remember that the personality isn't true. It isn't you. You need to be able to look at the personality and its fears without being identified with them. I'm going to read that again. You need to be able to look at the personality and its fears without being identified with them. Your role is to undo the false ideas by seeing them as false. And you can't do this as long as you are identified with them as true. Now, sometimes when people have these fears, they not only become identified with them, but they even become offended when they're talking to someone like me who didn't have this imprint, who can't understand it. They become offended because they're so identified with the fears. It's so much a part of who they think they are that someone else not being able to relate, not being able to understand is offensive. It's as if I am rejecting you because I cannot understand your experience. That's what it's like. Now, the reason I'm saying this is to show how strongly you can be identified with this fear, right? Especially if you feel rejected when other people do not understand it, they can't relate. You are very strongly identified with the fear as who you are, as an important part of you, an important part of your life. And notice what Spirit has said. He said that you need to be able to look at the personality and its fears without being identified with them. Now, some of you may have no clue how to do that, but this goes back to our willingness discussion. If you at least understand that the problem is not necessarily the fear, it's your identification with the fear. If you can see that that's the problem, the way you identify with it, the way you see that it's me, that's mine, that's a part of my life, right? And you can at least start by giving your willingness to release that identification. Right? You start at the very beginning with willingness. And again, if you want to keep claiming it as you, you know, it's going to remain a problem. Now, Spirit gives us something to try if you have this fear. He says, try this. Step back from the personality by not calling it me or I. Call it the personality within your mind. So in other words, what you might do is instead of saying, I'm afraid, you say, the personality is afraid. You see how you're taking a step back? You're starting to release that identification. The personality is afraid. The personality is not comfortable, right, around other people. Okay? So step back from the personality by not calling it me or I. Call it the personality within your mind. Then write down the fears that the personality has. Realize that these fears are built into this character. Notice how he's calling it a character, right? Realize that these fears are built into this character, but you are not this character. This stepping back will allow you to detach a little from your fears, because they are truly only your fears as long as you believe the personality is you. You know, if you imagine for a moment that you were going to write a sketch for TV, right, a play for TV, you would make up characters. And each character would have specific personality stuff that was a part of that character and not a part of every character on the show. You'd make them different. You might have the really successful, confident, cocky character who, you know, if it's a guy, gets to go out with all the gorgeous girls. If it's a girl, she's always out with other successful men, right? You might have the silly character who sees everything in a humorous way and is always making jokes. You might have an angry character who's very easily offended, gets pissed off at everything all the time, and is, you know, difficult for everyone else to get along with. And then you might have this character who has these fears, right? But they're characters. What he is literally telling us is our personalities, which we mistakenly call me, we mistakenly call it me, they're characters. They're dream roles. And they have things written into the part. Our mistake is identifying with the dream role as who I am. So he wants us to begin to detach. And he's recommending here a journaling exercise where, you know, whatever's happening in the personality's mind, whatever worries are going in, you know, I have dinner with the family tonight. I'm afraid of, you know, what Dad is going to say to me because I don't have a job. He recommends writing that down. The personality is afraid of what the father is going to say, right? Start looking at it as a character. Start noticing the character, just like if you were creating a character for your own TV show or book. He says, as you look at the personality's fears, notice when you feel the grip of believing they are yours. This grip may feel stronger than low level as you look directly at them, recognizing they are not you. This is because you are looking now at the fear of letting go of self. Now, this is an interesting little twist. I mean, you would think, you know, logically, at least my logical mind would, you would think that if this fear kept you uncomfortable all of the time, that you could just never be comfortable, that you'd be very, very happy to let go of it, right? What Spirit's saying is that's not true, because you really are attached to this as who you are. And when you start doing this exercise of writing it down, the personality is afraid to go to dinner with Dad, he's saying that low-level fear is going to start getting bigger. Remember I said I always appreciate a heads up from Spirit. Because then when I start doing this exercise, if I'm expecting this exercise to make me suddenly feel detached and peaceful, and instead my fear blows up, oh my God, that's going to make it worse. But if I know my fear is going to blow up, if I know it's going to be bigger, and the reason it's going to be bigger is because I am attached. I actually am attached to my fear. And now the idea of letting it go is scaring me even more. I can breathe. And I can keep doing the exercise. Because guess what? It's working. It's working. So he says, as you look at the personality's fears, notice when you feel the grip of believing they are yours. This grip may feel stronger than low level as you look directly at them, recognizing they are not you. This is because you are looking now at the fear of letting go of self. Oh, notice I said I could breathe. That's exactly what he recommends. He says, breathe into that fear. Rest into it. He's not telling you it shouldn't be there, and therefore you should try and repress it. He's saying it's going to be there. Allow it. Allow it. In other words, this is exactly what's supposed to happen. It may feel worse than it did a second ago when you were in denial, but actually you're heading towards healing here. You know, it's like in the Course when Jesus tells us we don't know the difference between our advances and our retreats. When this fear gets bigger, you might think, oh my God, it's getting worse. Actually, this is an advance. You're moving towards healing. Okay, so trust Spirit enough, even though it's feeling worse. Trust that Spirit knows how to heal. Breathe into that fear. Rest into it. As you look at this fear, you see the hold the low-level fears have on you. They are like glue or binding fears which keep you attached to the personality. Listen to this sentence. Are you ready? They are the fears you love to fear, because they keep you from knowing yourself with a capital S. As you look at them now with the idea of letting go of them in your mind, you see it isn't the little fears that terrify you, but it is not fearing them that scares you the most. As you look at them now with the idea of letting go of them in your mind, you see it isn't the little fears that terrify you, but it is not fearing them that scares you the most. Once you realize this, you understand the purpose of your mists of worry. Once you notice their purpose, they cannot have the same hold on you. For each time that they come up into the mind now, you can see them for what they are. They are key elements of the filter that keep you from knowing who you are. Now, he's not saying that this doing this exercise once is going to heal you. He's saying doing this exercise once is going to make you aware. It's going to make you aware, and you're never going to look at those fears the same way again. Because now when you feel that constant uneasiness, you're going to have an idea that these are just false imprints built into the personality in order to keep you attached to the personality. That's different than I'm always uneasy, right? It's a completely different way of looking at them. I can't relax. You're now seeing these are imprints built into the character to keep you attached to believing you're the character. You may still be feeling them, but this is a shift in how you're looking at them, and it's not a little shift. So once you realize this, you understand the purpose of your mists of worry. Once you notice their purpose, they cannot have the same hold on you. For each time that they come up into the mind now, you can see them for what they are. They are key elements of the filter, or we could say of the character, that keep you from knowing who you are. When you see these recurring personality fears in your mind, recognize what they are. Call them by their name. Say to yourself, there's that piece of filter designed to teach me that I am what I am not. Okay, so he wants you to actively hold on to this shift that's occurred in the mind. He doesn't want you to go back into forgetting the realization that you've had. He does not want you to go back into, I'm always uneasy. I can never relax. I'm always uncomfortable. I'm always afraid. He does not want you to go back there. That's back to identification. He doesn't want you to deny them, because that's not helpful either. So they're still there. But he wants you to call them by their name. You know, when you feel that uneasiness about going into a social situation around other people, he wants you to look right at it and say, there's that piece of filter, or there's that character design that's trying to teach me that I'm the character instead of who I am. Now, the funny thing about Spirit's guidance, and I've learned this from my own experience, is sometimes it doesn't seem like much. The ego tries to tell you it's not much. The ego tries to tell you there's got to be something more. You're going to have to do more. But if you will just do what Spirit asks you to do and do it consistently, you'll find the healing. Now, I personally didn't have this imprint. So I personally did not have to go through this healing. However, a very similar story, which is yet to come in the Regina and Laurent series, but I will jump ahead. A very similar story was later in our relationship after I had fallen in love with Laurent, when he, appeared to reject me. He seemed to suddenly decide he didn't want me. He moved out of the bedroom back into the guest room and had, even though we were still in the same house, had very little interaction with me. Really was not in the same room as me. And I felt severely rejected. I had a broken heart. It was just, for me, it was an awful experience. So I went to Spirit and I asked for help. And Spirit helped me see, I won't go through all the details because we'll get to that message later in the story, but Spirit helped me see that the cause of my pain was not that Laurent was rejecting me, it was that I believed I was rejectable. And he gave me something to say, all right, to say to myself. He told me, every time you have the thoughts that I'm hurting because Laurent is rejecting me, okay, every time that thought comes up in any form, just say to yourself, it is not Laurent that is hurting me. It is my own belief in my rejectability. That's it. He asked me to say a sentence. He didn't ask me to do anything else. But I did it for like 2 months. Every single time, you know, Laurent would look at me and I would see what I perceived to be his disgust for me in his eyes, and I'd feel that, And then I would say, it's not Laurent that's hurting me. It's my own belief in my own rejectability. Every time Laurent would stay in his room all day long while I was out about in the house. Then at night when I went to bed, I would close my door. About 2 minutes after I would close my door, he would come out and he would live in the house at night. But he would wait until he heard me go in my room. But when I went in my room and closed my door, and then I'd hear him open his door, my heart would break because, you know, he had been avoiding me all day. And then I would realize that was a thought that he was hurting me, and I would say the sentence, it's not Laurent that's hurting me. It's my own belief in my rejectability. That's all I did. And after about 2 months, and I was very consistent, it healed. I can't explain it. I guess that's why they call it A Course in Miracles. It healed. It healed completely. The belief in rejection healed completely. I literally and honestly do not believe in rejection anymore. I cannot be rejected. I mean, the appearance of it may still be there, but I just see it differently. I don't see people rejecting each other anymore. Rejection is dead. And all I did was follow Spirit's very simple directions, which didn't seem like they should work. Right? You know, it seemed like I should have to do something else, have heart surgery or something, a lobotomy, something, right? No. No. I just followed directions. Okay, so Spirit's giving something very simple here. First, he asks us to do an exercise if we have these low-level fears. Put them down on paper, but don't say they're mine. Don't say I. Say the personality, right? The personality. The personality. And as you're doing that, realize this is not you. This is not who you are. And he says, as you do this, it's going to seem like it's getting worse. But that's good. Trust Spirit. That's good. Breathe. Keep doing it. Breathe. Breathe and do it. And then he says, after that, as you're going about your daily life, and this fear is there, the thought comes across the mind, I can't do that because I'm afraid, right? Whenever that happens, he says, say this sentence, there's that piece of filter designed to teach me that I am what I am not. Just say it. He doesn't even say you have to believe it. Just do it. And maybe if you're very, very, very consistent, if you really want this healing, a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, who knows, suddenly you'll notice that fear's not there anymore. It just isn't. It just isn't. You don't know where it went, right? It's just gone. And even if that takes a year, heck, for some of you, even if it takes 3 years, 5 years, isn't it worth it? I mean, haven't you had this fear ever since you can remember? Spirit goes on to say, each time you identify the fear for what it is, you loosen a bit more from your desire to hold on to it. Now, you don't have a conscious desire to hold on to it. I recognize that. I recognize you're not walking around saying, I love my fear. I know you don't feel that way. But Spirit is telling you at a level that you are not consciously aware of, you do love your fear. You do. Because it's you. Right? It's you. And he's saying that if you practice what he's asking you to practice here, what you're going to do, little by little, is you're going to loosen your attachment to that desire that you have to keep your fear. And you got to realize, as the Son of God, okay, you are not victim. That was last week's message, right? Victim is a carefully crafted experience. You are not victim. So even though you may have been born with an imprint to have this low-level fear, even though it's written into the personality, you're the Son of God, you're the Christ, you're the Buddha, right? You're not victim to it. So if you're continuing to experience it, it is because you're holding on to it. So Spirit is teaching how to slowly let go of the, you know, open up that hand that's holding on to it and release it so it can float away. Each time you identify the fear for what it is, you loosen a bit more from your desire to hold on to it. That's because each time you choose to say this statement, you choose to acknowledge what you truly want more. I mean, why else would you be saying the sentence? Why else would you be consistent unless what you truly want is healing? The only reason you would say the sentence is because you're ready to be free. And again, you're the Son of God. If you are consistently giving your willingness to being free, guess what must follow? Each time you identify the fear for what it is, you loosen a bit more from your desire to hold on to it. That's because each time you choose to say this statement, you choose to acknowledge what you truly want more. you choose to tell the mind that knowing thyself is desired, and not knowing thyself is dying, as a desire that lived in me. So again, the only reason the fear is there is because at a level that's not conscious to you, you desired it. And now what you're doing is you're switching the direction of your desire. And as you switch the direction of your desire, experience has to follow. So it doesn't seem like a lot to the conscious, logical thinking mind to walk around and say a sentence to yourself all day long. Yes. But you see, you're actually doing more than that. You wouldn't even be saying the sentence all day long unless you really were changing your desire. It's actually something very powerful that's happening, and it's coming from a very powerful being. If you really think about it, it's not actually a miracle at all. It will feel like that at the conscious level, trust me. It will feel like it just disappeared. It'll feel like a miracle. You won't know how it happened. All you did was say this sentence. But at the metaphysical level, the Son of God changed the direction of his desire, and the form just followed. So that's the end of that message. Does anybody in the house have anything to say? Because I got like 10 minutes left here. I will tell you, there's lots of people, well, compared to when I'm usually here by myself, there's lots of people here with me. Danielle is here. She's pretty average for being here with me. But we have Tristan here from Australia. He's been a little more common lately, right? Norma Clark is here from Houston. And Nalia, am I saying your name right? Nalia is here from, you're from Richmond, Virginia, right? Yeah. And they are here because tomorrow is the first study with the Scribe series. We have three more people arriving. Myron Jones is coming in from Louisiana. Nancy Sullivan from Seattle. And Ruby Nasser, I believe is her last name, is coming in from Arizona. So tomorrow we'll have a nice little group here. Lisa's giving us the broken heart again because she's not here. Norma says, tell her hello. Yeah, but I'm looking forward with the study of the scribe. I have bought a flip chart, not a flip chart, but you know, an easel with a whiteboard so that the house has a bit of a classroom look. I don't know what I'm going to use it for. I just knew to buy it. I'm sure that what we're going to use it for will appear on its own. I also have bought notebooks and pens. What I know, although I don't have any plans, but just what I know at that gut level is that there are going to be active exercises. Just like we just saw Spirit give an active exercise, I know that as we go through NTI Luke, it's going to come to me, here's a point to do an active exercise, let's do it. So there's no plan. There was only enough of a feeling that I could gather the proper materials, you know, just enough of a heads up so that when Spirit says, okay, now, you know, do this exercise, I won't go, oh, shoot, do we have paper? <You know>? So, I'm really looking forward to it. I am blessed because I get to go to all the study of the scribe sessions. And, you know, although on the one hand I appear to be maybe the teacher, I absolutely know that I'm the student. There's no doubt in my mind about that, that whatever Spirit is going to bring, Spirit is bringing for me as much as anyone else. So I am thrilled. I can't wait for it to start. I'm very excited to find out what's going to happen as we go through these 7 different weeks throughout the year, you know, focusing on one section of NTI at a time, and then the last one is based on the inner Ramana. And by the way, since I'm talking about that, I wasn't really planning a commercial, but since I did bring it up, if anyone wants to sign up for a week to come here and do a study with the scribe session, you can find out about them if you go to reginadonacres.com and then just click on the events and gatherings link, which will be on the right. You can learn about them there, and then if you feel to come, what some people are doing is combining it with a Colorado vacation. Others are just flying in for the study with the scribe and flying home, you know, so whatever you feel to do. But I think they're going to be powerful, and I'm really excited about them. So that's why I have a few more friends sitting around with me. I can play a song, and I will, unless someone has something they want to share or ask. So let me just pause for a minute and see if you guys have anything. If not, then there has been a song I've been wanting to listen to lately, and so I'll listen to that with you. If you have anything, please stick your hand up. This is a song, by the way, that I've played one other time in Awakening, so some of you may have heard it. Lisa and Clara know it well, because it was played on our bus a lot when we were in Israel. Norma knows it. It's a song that, to be perfectly honest, the first time I heard it, ego jumped all over it and judged it. But then as I began to hear it over and over and over again on the bus, I began to hear it differently and I fell in love. And now it's like one of my favorite songs. The name of the song is Hebrew Man. And the idea in the song, if you listen to the specific words, and you'll hear maybe how ego heard it the first time I heard it, the idea in the song is eventually everyone's going to speak Hebrew. You know, it's very special to be Hebrew. The Hebrew language is a very special language, and that's how my ego heard it the first time. That is not the true interpretation of the song, because ego never has the right interpretation of the song. As that song played over and over and over on the bus, the Hebrew language became just a symbol for God's language, which ultimately would be what we might call stillness, right? God's language. And it is true that all of the prophets knew God's language. And it is true that in the end we are all going to speak, communicate, know God's language. And as I began to hear that interpretation of this song, I fell madly in love with it. So what I'm going to do now is just play Hebrew Man for you, which is song number 4 on this CD. All right, let me know if I need to do anything else with the volume. Okay, here we go.
Speak out the language of the Hebrew man, loud and clear, the language of the Hebrew man. It is the language of the prophets, of the sign upon the wall. It is old and sacred, it will open up your soul. Speak up language of the Hebrew man, loud and clear, the language of the Hebrew man. From the deepest mess of downtown Babylon, it will take you to the next ring, to Mount Zion. It will get you up, it will make you fly. The language of the Hebrew man will take you high. Spoke the language of the Hebrew man, and also Jesus from Nazareth and Maria Magdalene. Einstein, Jeremiah, the Dylan, and the Kohen. They know something about the language of the Hebrew man. And when the Lord said, let there be light, it was in the language of the Hebrew man. And when Moses said, let my people go, it was in the language of the Hebrew man.
Speak the language of the Hebrew man.
Hebrew man.
Speak the language of the Hebrew man.
Speak out.
Speak the language of the Hebrew man. Speak the language of the Hebrew man.
Yeah. ביום ההוא אור חדש גדול יאיר לאט נפתח הסדק לאט נופל הקיר וכשתגיע השעה יבוא אחד בשם אחד יכירו וידעו כל העולם שפה אחת.
With that, I'm just going to turn it down and we'll stop there because the time is up. But I hope you all enjoyed the song. And I guess I will see you next on Wednesday morning. All right? I love you. Goodbye.